knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
Stop.
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, now
yes.
available on video game systems
yes.
around the globe.
You told me you deluxed it.
I did. There was I threw down a couple extra bucks because you could play it 3 days early if you did. And that just so happened to be right after we did the debate episodes. And
yeah.
I was like, I need
you needed
a fucking break.
Yeah.
I need something to be a little treat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I splurged on that and enjoy. It's great. It's
Is
so
it?
Much fun. Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. I play so many, like, whenever I gravitate towards a game, a lot of it is, like, open world
sure.
type exploration and things
yeah.
like this. And this is, you know, pretty much 2D puzzles and platforming. And,
really?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Wow.
It's off the beaten path of some of the stuff that I play a lot. But I've always been a big fan of Prince of Persia.
Weird.
I played it when it was just a computer game.
Mm-hmm.
It was too hard. Way too hard.
It was way too hard. See, that's why I've never been a Prince of Persia.
But I liked that. And then when they had I think it was on the GameCube, the Sands of Time one, where
sure.
you could reverse
where
time.
Where you could reverse time. I remember that one.
That one was so fucking fun. And so, yeah, I've always had like a fondness for the IP. and so I was excited
right.
to see that a new one was out, but I was also a little bit wary. I was like, I don't know if this is gonna be any good.
Yeah, on the Gyllenhaals, how many Gyllenhaals do you give this Prince of Persia?
Both Jake and Maggie. It's both.
Two Gyllenhaals up.
Yep.
All right.
It's good. It's good. I don't know. I haven't played that far into it, honestly, because
yeah.
I'm kind of bad at it.
That happens.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's the problem with being like, I don't play 2D side-scrollers too often.
Yeah, I'm not good.
I'm not good at them.
No.
Yeah. If I played them a lot, I'd probably be pretty good at them.
I'm not good, but it's fun
it's
enough
fun.
That when I fail, I'm not that mad about
right,
it.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I can always see what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I know that eventually I will do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I just banged my head against a wall trying to backflip off a wall, and I don't know. Good enough time. I think I'm going to try to beat it.
Okay.
Although the only thing that's going to stop me from beating it.
Sure.
Because I can handle all of the platforming puzzles and
right,
all that stuff.
Right.
I can handle that. I'll
DKC,
fail
you're
repeatedly.
Back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll get there eventually.
Right.
The combat, I'm not sure. I'm not good at that. I am not good at combat.
Interesting.
Just mash buttons and panic.
Oh, that's no good.
That's all I can do.
Combat is tough. Mm. I can't do 2D. I'm terrible at combat and 2D stuff. Mm.
I'm just trying. I can never remember that you can parry things.
Right.
I'm just like, I'll dodge through everything.
I need
dead.
A dodge. I'm a three-dimensional.
Well,
I need to
dodge.
Move to the left.
It's just not good enough.
Yeah, that's not good.
So we'll see. I'll give an update. On this, never.
Of course.
So it's your bright spot.
My bright spot is I got my ink done. Finally,
oh,
got
you got
it.
A long suit
yeah,
shirt on, so
yeah,
I couldn't
yeah.
see.
Well, I mean, you can't see it anyways because it's under a space age bandage.
So it is
the type that they use now.
Oh, you did get barbed wire.
I did. No, I got my band.
Mm-hmm.
I got my all four elements. It was. It's really, really good.
How
I'll
long
show
did
you.
Take?
Probably about 4 hours.
It's not bad. One for each element.
Well, it was 2 hours of prep because the tattoo artist is Caitlin McKay of Evoke Tattoos. She's amazing. She's really, really good. Because putting a band is so tough when you got two different circumferences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is thicker around the edge, and so to try and line it up, you have to kind of do the 45-degree
sure.
cylinder math thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
Engineering,
of
basically.
Yeah. So did a great job. The colors are amazing and bright and perfect. awesome. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
And the design, or the shop. Mm-hmm. Huge. Love the shop. Love Caitlin. Tattoo places for the longest time have been huge sources of dude energy.
That's true.
Yeah. This is not a dude energy place. No dude energy there.
That's nice.
It's so much less stressful. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. It was great.
Shout out to the shop.
Absolutely.
To Caitlin and to your arm.
Yes.
So, Jordan, today we're going to have an episode to go over.
Ooh.
There was talk from me of not having an episode, just taking a break.
Because, right.
You know, we had 7 hours of episodes over sure. the course of Friday and Monday.
Sure.
But I felt like you can't rest forever.
Oh, I knew you were bluffing.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned on the last episode, it's like we have to talk about like the Iowa
sure.
caucuses. I mean,
right.
it's a big deal. It's the first primary contest
sure.
of the season, and I mean, obviously, Trump was going to win. I don't
yeah.
think anybody went in with any notions
oh,
otherwise.
My. Yeah,
I watched it on the NBC News for mm-hmm. I haven't watched like long stretches of news coverage for a long time.
Yeah.
And I would just put it on in the background.
Yeah.
It was wild.
What was wild about it?
So boring.
I can't remember the last
so
time
boring.
I ever saw. I can't remember the last time I've watched actual news.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah. but you can, you know, I didn't realize that. See, I don't have a TV.
Sure.
So
no,
I don't click
yeah.
onto a TV or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But you can just watch it on YouTube. They all stream those channels on YouTube, like NBC
goddamn.
News and
okay.
all that. So I was watching it on there, and it's just really boring.
Sure.
The analysts are all kind of saying similar things.
Mm.
And then so they called it for Trump really early.
Right. Comically
then,
early.
And then NBC, one of their reporters was at the, like, talking to DeSantis's media person. And he was just yelling at her about calling it early. That was a lot of fun. But
right.
in terms of high points, that was about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
about
right.
The rest of it's just kind of... I was more noticing for production cues.
Sure.
Right? So, like, before the caucuses started up,
yeah.
NBC had, like, a reporter who was at one of the caucus poll
yeah.
places.
Yeah.
And so they had the shot of her, and behind her is the doors, the exit doors.
Right.
And so the camera follows her as she walks forward. She walks past a number of people, and then there's just a guy standing there, and like... We talked to this Nikki Haley voter earlier.
Right.
And he's standing there.
Right.
And, like, he was standing there the whole time.
The whole time.
While the camera moved and walked backwards.
They staged this. What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It was interesting from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what you got to do to get that elusive Haley voter. In
yeah.
review.
I mean, it does seem kind of silly. I would imagine that if you step back as you worked for news and you were really like, okay, this made sense when it was just white men voting, but why are we doing this whole thing to see what 100,000 white dudes think?
Mm.
And then but you know what? Fuck it. There's a Haley voter. Let's do it. We got to fill the air with something.
It turns out
yeah.
what the 100,000 white dudes did not think was, I'm into Vivek.
Yeah. I do appreciate that they did get one. They did get at least one quote from somebody that was like, you know, 9/11. Like, I know exactly what you think.
What?
I knew it.
I didn't see that quote. Shocking.
It wasn't that, but it mounted to, it might as well have been, you know?
Yeah. He underperformed, I think it's fair to say. But he performed incredibly well based on the very obvious reason he was running.
Yeah.
Which was a PR stunt.
Which was lying.
So, yeah, I was interested to check in and see what Alex's response would be to the caucus, obviously.
Yep. Yep.
Because I think everybody went in with the idea that Trump was going to win.
Right.
The entire conversation that the pundits were having that was all the same,
mm-hmm.
like I was saying, was
sure.
basically what needs to happen for there to make any sense for there even to be primaries
right.
is Trump has to be below 50%.
Right.
Because whoever runs against him and doesn't drop out of the primaries has to be able to make the argument that there is 50% not Trump.
Right.
There has to be a collection of all these people that add up to 50%.
Right.
And
otherwise, it really doesn't matter what we think at all. Yeah. The larger number of people exist outside of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the interesting thing. It's like, well, all these people got to team up to get half. Like, just the presumption was like, well, Trump might just get fuck around and get half. And he did.
Yeah.
And so Alex's response was, you know, I was interested in, like, because there's no bluster coming out of this, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of just what people expected. There's no, like, triumphant. I guess there's a little triumph to it, but there's no, like, we overcame.
Right.
Or anything.
There's no, like, the narrative was we weren't going to come through and we believed in ourselves the whole time. There's none of that.
Yeah. So I checked in on the 16th, Tuesday's episode, to see where the ball would land.
Shitty Tuesday's episode.
We'll get down to business on that, but first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, start adding timestamps so us listeners can create the Wonk Clips Industrial Complex. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, congrats on the new job as a DC globalist, Rick. I'll use my Jewish space laser for a celebratory light show. Love, Hannah. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Corey with a K. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Mikey, enjoy this shout out. Please don't tell your mother. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Angel fell in love with Christy on a road trip listening to Knowledge Fight. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
So sweet. So sweet. Also, so tragic. The idea that our show is a part of people's relationship story. Oh, I'm so sorry.
you know, whatever brings people together. I appreciate, you know, imagine every dating app, you know, if you had to thank everybody in your likes section, if you also, if you got married to that person, you know, if it was like, oh, we have to send Eve 6 a fucking thank you note because we both put liked Eve 6 in our profiles, you know, they don't need to know.
No, but a gift would be nice.
It would be nice.
So you got a Technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Andrew and his band Gears on the upcoming release of their funky, fresh third album, Atlas, in January 2024. Thank you so much. You're now a Technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite, sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
I hope that Gears is grindcore.
Because you want to grindcore their gears?
You're grinding gears. It's kind of, it's an expression, right?
So that's how we start.
Yep. So here's the episode kicking off. Forget that bad joke. Here is where Alex is at.
Okay.
I am sitting here at 11:06 and 16 seconds, staring into these cameras in a studio in Central Texas.
He's got to cut it out with the seconds thing. It's very obnoxious.
Okay.
I'm looking at an image from satellite of
our planet. Desperate to fill time.
We're 293 days, 12 hours, 53 minutes from the most important election in the world.
No seconds?
I mean, yeah, I guess this time he was...
Peace and prosperity and justice and sovereignty versus world war, bio attacks.
Sure.
Nuclear Armageddon. And I was just in there at a computer terminal about 7-8 minutes ago writing the headline for the show. And I can usually do it pretty quick because every day we put a new headline out and then a link to the live show at Infowars.com/show. And I sat there for about 3-4 minutes and I couldn't come up with a headline alarmist enough for what's going on.
I'm usually pretty good at clickbait. It usually comes pretty natural to me. But today I really wanted to overdo it and I had a tough time.
Be afraid!
I mean, that's basically it.
With like a lot of D's.
I couldn't quite find a way to be specific enough in the thing I want you to be afraid of. So tough.
It's going to require all of my imagery to really piss you off in such a way as to make you buy my stuff today.
Also a little bit of a tell that he described it as alarmist.
It does feel like you shouldn't be saying that.
You understand what you're doing, Ding Dong.
Yeah, you're not the one to spend. We're supposed to say that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here is why things are so alarmist.
Okay.
You got to fuck the Iowa caucuses.
Sure.
Who gives a shit?
But in the news, in the Russian news, the Chinese news, the British news, and the U.S. defense news.
What about the Argentinian?
There are all these documents and articles.
Okay.
Remember last week, the Swedish government that hadn't been in a war in over 200 years?
No.
Has never had Russia attack them. Their defense minister came out at a public forum and said, we are going to have war with Russia. It's a foregone conclusion. And Russia is going to attack us. Now, Russia for 9 years said, we will invade Ukraine if you keep putting NATO troops in there and if you keep attacking Russians that live there, which are the majority. So Russia was started. Russia has said 100%, we are not going to attack anybody. We are defensive.
Oh, sounds like you're defensive.
Wow.
So isn't I imagine that what Alex means is that Sweden hasn't had a war in Swedish soil,
I guess,
in 200 years, because they had troops that were in Afghanistan.
They were, so, yeah.
I don't know what he means.
Hmm.
So the context here that Alex is obscuring is that Sweden is most likely joining NATO this year.
Right.
So when people like the civil defense minister come out with comments about how they need to be prepared for the possibility that they could become involved in a war, it's if another NATO country is attacked.
Right, that right, would right. Come you along understand what the treaty part of the treaty means. Mm-hmm. It means if they attack us, we get the benefit of them being like, hey, we'll protect you,
mm-hmm.
but also we get the negative aspect of we have to go protect other people if they get attacked.
Slide whistle. He did also say, quote, many have said it before, but let me say it with the force of my office, there could be a war in Sweden. He's saying that because Putin has a rich history of threatening them with attack, because mm-hmm. he doesn't want Sweden and Finland joining NATO.
Mm-mm.
That could lead to military defenses being stationed near the border of Russia, which Putin really doesn't want.
They don't like it.
This is much more of an issue for Finland, who actually has a border with Russia, but
right.
if both countries join NATO, that would be a border that they're both obligated to defend.
Right.
On top of this, Sweden signed a cooperative defense agreement with the United States last week that'll allow the U.S. to use their domestic military bases.
Yeah.
So some of this stuff is, I don't know, Alex is being alarmist, perhaps.
I mean, yeah, in this particular situation, it does feel like everybody understands that this is kind of a small aspect of the larger NATO gets, the angrier Putin is, because that means that the smaller the theoretical Soviet Union can get.
Mm.
That's it, you know? And then, you know, how big or small is how angry everybody is at any given point in time.
Very astute. So Alex has other headlines surrounding this larger issue, which is war.
Yeah.
He's pretty much obsessed with hypothetical war.
Right. Most people seem to be.
I wanted to hear about the Iowa caucuses, but nope.
War.
Hypothetical war.
Okay.
The Swedish defense minister said, I've been meeting with the other ministers in NATO and the U.S. and Canada.
Sure.
Australia. And war is going to happen. Well, now the British defense ministry has officially come out and said that the path to war is here and that full-scale global war is going to happen in the next year.
Strange thing for them to say, but bold.
Alarmist.
And they predict
a little bit.
Full war with Russia as early as next month. And then they push it out to February
okay.
of next year, a year from now, 13
sure.
months. I have it all right here. I read all the reports. But it gets worse. Leaked German military document details countdown to World War III, and Germany's official defense policy is that they will be at full war, including nuclear, with the Russians imminently.
Sure. All right.
You
Germany,
might want to
huh?
go read the Jamie White article. It's on Infowars.com. You might want to share it.
Nah. So do you hear about this?
No.
Because it's big. That's big
no.
news.
I did not know that we were going to be nuclear warring
within
here
weeks.
Shortly. Yeah.
So Alex is never specific when he talks about people or sources, except for like on his own website, because
right.
he just doesn't know what's at the bottom of these, what the primary sources are. And also because he doesn't want to make it easier for the audience to follow up on the stuff he's saying to get more context. The British Defense Secretary Alex is referring to is Grant Shapps, who warned the world that we're now in a, quote, pre-war phase. In his speech, he said, quote, an age of idealism has been replaced by a period of hard-headed realism. Today, our adversaries are busily rebuilding their barriers. Old enemies are reanimated. New foes are taking shape. Battle lines are being redrawn. In 5 years' time, we could be looking at multiple theaters involving Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. He didn't predict full-on world war this year, and Alex starts to get his stories mixed up at this point.
Right.
He's saying that the British minister said that there'd be war as soon as next month, but that's a detail he's pulling from this second story, which he introduces after he says, but it gets worse.
Yes.
That dramatic flourish.
Yeah.
What Alex is doing is a bit of exaggerating and overselling that second story. This is about an article posted in the German paper Bild, titled, it has to do with a document called Alliance Defense 2025, mm-hmm. which is alleged to be a German scenario planning exercise that was leaked to the publication. Its authenticity hasn't been fully confirmed, but even if it is totally genuine, it doesn't depict some kind of a secret plan to have an all-out war with Russia. The Bild article itself is behind a paywall, but I was able to find a breakdown of it and all the details on a website called The European Conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's an inciting incident in this scenario exercise, and that's Putin calling up 200,000 more troops to send to Ukraine in February 2024,
right.
which would be next month.
Yes.
This would lead to victories in strategic positions in Ukraine and an emboldening of Russia's military position. Russia would then launch hybrid warfare tactics to incite Russian-speaking minorities in the Baltic states, which could be used as a pretext for Russia to send troops there, like the argument went with the Donbass region.
Right.
The scenario then...
Do you mean they would do that successful thing again?
Man?
Crazy.
The scenario then involves the building up of arms and missiles into the Kaliningrad region and Belarus with the goal of taking the Suwalki Gap.
Right.
This is a short stretch of land that connects Belarus with Russia's satellite territory on the Baltic Sea, Kaliningrad. It's the Suwalski, I always want to say Suwalski because it sounds more Polish.
Well, we're Chicago.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Suwalski Bay.
The Suwalki Gap is it's Polish and Lithuanian land, but it's a short stretch. And if it were seized, Russia would have effectively encircled Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia.
Mm.
It cut them off from Poland. It's strategically an interesting place to try and take.
Right.
The document imagines Russia using the inevitable chaos that will come with the 2024 U.S. election as cover to begin creating artificial border conflicts at the Suwalki Gap by the end of 2024, which would lead to the replaying of the invasion of Ukraine.
Right.
Again.
Right.
This obviously ratchets up tensions quite a bit with NATO, and they're forced to deploy 300,000 troops on what they call Day X. This exercise doesn't actually say if the result is a full-on war or if the deterrence of the NATO troops de-escalates the situation, but whatever the case, this is not a plan for a war with Russia. If it is in fact authentic, then it's just the German military's exploration of a possible scenario of things, how they could play out if certain other things happen.
Sure.
This is one of the major tricks in the conspiracy theorist playbook, the use of scenario exercises as declarations of nefarious plans.
Right.
I feel like whenever you see this trick being used, it's best to tune out and not listen to the source because that person is trying to sell you a bill of goods.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on with Alex here. There is a supposed, I think it's probably even likely from what everything I've been able to tell, that I would go ahead and believe that it is a real scenario exercise from the German military.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's found another scenario exercise to pretend is like the globalist evil plans. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think, you know, before, let me explain a little bit about my history. You know, when I was growing up, I would watch the anime where they would solve problems with giant mechs battling out, you know, and I would think, ha, that's stupid. There's no way that things would work that dumb in real life. But then in real life, they work so much dumber that I think we genuinely have the opportunity now for each country to build a Gundam, all right? And then every you know, we have a World Cup. And whoever's Gundam is the best at the end of the World Cup gets to run the world for the next 3 years.
Well,
and we just keep on rolling it because I'm sick of this whole war shit.
I understand where you're coming from, and I think that there's some wisdom in it. But I also think that you're not taking into account that then there would just be like subterfuge and espionage wars trying to,
but that is what I'm taking into account.
Oh.
All of those people should be the ones, they're affected by it. They're the ones doing all the subterfuge. In the real world, all those people who are like, let's do subterfuge, they kill regular people like you and me who aren't part of their shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, they're subterfuge.
Instead, they would just be attacking the Gundam makers of another country.
Exactly. Who fucking cares? You guys are all doing that. It's your game.
All right.
You have fun.
In that case, I think it's probably a gigantic suck of public resources.
But
so is war. So what are you going to do? So you got this whole thing where Germany is declaring the plans of how we're going to get into a nuclear war with Russia imminently.
Yeah.
But in reality, China's the real enemy. And then Alex gets lost in thought.
Okay.
China's the big enemy other than the globalists because
they make the best
Gundams. The society. They have the Uyghurs in the camps. They sell the political dissidents' organs. They were set up by the New World Order to dominate us. Now, they've broken with the Anglo-American establishment. And every time I say that, I see on X, fools go, he's attacking the white people again. No, I'm not Joy Reid. That's the name of what King Charles calls himself. That's the old official name of the British Empire merged with the Dutch Empire, the European continental system, and the United States. That's what they call themselves in their own documents. That's their official title. So when Putin addresses them, he says, the Anglo-Americans. Sometimes the ignorance level is just stunning. You know, oh, there goes Jones blaming the white people again. He's
right. It truly is stunning.
Joy Reid.
Sometimes the ignorance level.
God help us. I just actually know the political names.
Holy shit. Can you imagine a person who's listening to Alex's show and being like, he's too tough on white people?
like,
who is this person?
I love the idea of making up my own non-existent criticism that is the least... Of all the low bars to make up for yourself to cross, the one that you're the champion at is ridiculous.
I loved that.
That's Jackie Joyner Kersee being like, okay, it's me versus this turtle. Like, what are we doing? All right? You compete against somebody who's the best at it, like you know?
Everybody says that I'm too tough on the white people. I blame white people for everything.
You are the champion not tough on white people. You are the lord of not being tough on white people.
Oh, just because I use terms like Anglo-Saxon, Anglo-American.
Who in God's name is
that? It can't possibly be you.
Here comes Alex going in on white people again.
It's a broken record over here. Can't stop.
They created everything and are the best.
I fucking understand if someone's saying you.
Me. Yeah.
You.
That's what I do.
You deserve that criticism.
That's why I was born.
Alex, on the other hand, ridiculous.
Yes.
So one of Alex is reading off all his headlines, right?
In what world does he even see a tweet like that from who? And you know it's Alex. Here's how crazy Alex is. You know somebody tweeted something stupid like that, and Alex saw it and was like, I am being too hard on white people. He took that criticism to heart.
Or it's, I guess I could see it being like a fundamental misunderstanding of things that like harder core Nazis think about him.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
You know, maybe there is some kind of a criticism of that, but that's just like, you're not Nazi enough.
Yeah, you're not Nazi enough.
Yeah, slightly different criticism.
Being too hard on white people and being not Nazi enough are very similar.
Yeah, so he's going through his headlines. I thought this headline was absurd, just a ridiculous thing to be in the stacks.
Here's another big RT headline. Globalists lack supporters, but they have the nukes, says Alex Jones. Really powerful 23-minute interview. What's up on Infowars.com? With yours truly.
I got it.
All right, so I'm going to read these articles on air coming up at the bottom of the hour. But I'm going to give everybody
for free
to email and text their friends and family and neighbors and strangers or acquaintances and tell them
text a stranger.
Infowars.com/show in the forbidden feed. You need to hear about total war and how we stop it. So you got about 16, 17 minutes till we're back from that segment. I'm going to hit other news that ties into it now. But please ask everybody to tune in because that's how we overpower the system. It's an information war.
Yeah, so we got Alex in the stack of headlines is an interview that he did.
Yep.
With RT.
Yeah.
Oh,
powerful
cool.
Interview.
Powerful. That's a dubious thing to have in the stack, I think. I think it's okay to be like, hey, check out, I did an interview with RT.
Sure.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But when it's in your list of headlines, it's a little bit shitty.
I mean...
And then you get the introduction of, I'm going to read this article. And I always love when I hear that, because I think this ain't going to happen.
No.
This is too boring for Alex.
I do appreciate the idea of Alex saying over the radio, don't text someone a link to an article. Text somebody a link to me reading the article to them.
Mm.
Yeah,
or not.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
More than likely, not.
Very much not.
So Alex has to kill a little time before he gets to that point where he's going to read the article.
Sure.
He's just an alarmist.
Mm.
How are these insane globalists going to get this done?
Alarmingly?
Well, they have to first secure the country with the weapons and the resources for all of this, because you're not going to like the national draft. The Democrats are openly saying they're getting ready to bring back. You're not going to like your daughters, because we have equity now. We have equality now.
I hate my daughters.
Women are going to get drafted for the robot wars that are already started. But to make sure the
women
country's divided,
fighting robots,
come together and say no to all these wars and open borders and the rest of it. It's an old talking point, but now it's gone from a drumbeat to a cacophonous finale.
That doesn't even make sense. You just lost it.
A crescendo of white people are the problem. White people are inherently evil. Every problem is white people. Being white is inherently a crime. That's taught in all the major universities. You see the university heads defending it. That's just what they're doing. And it's all CIA globalist run for total divide and conquer.
This guy's too hard on white people.
That is taught in all the major universities.
I gotta be honest. This guy needs to give white people a break.
I mean, if anybody needs to give white people a break, it is this guy right here.
So the globalists have to, their plans, their evil plans.
Sure.
And World War III and all this that they're trying to do, and they're going to pull this off.
Naturally.
And then eventually they're going to get their draft in so women can fight the robot wars.
Great.
And in order to do all of this, it is essential to demonize white people.
Yeah.
They must make white people look bad in order to get to World War III robot wars with women.
If I were in a college where they were teaching me that, I would say, this seems implausible. Right. That would be, I would raise my hand, and I would say, this seems like an implausible series of events that you are describing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But since you're in a university, I guess I have to believe it.
But, I mean, like, if you don't know what goes on in a university. They just say people are bad.
I really don't.
No. Write it down on the paper.
Write it down. It says white people are bad.
Yeah.
I love the
Here is the test.
Yeah, the final.
In an economics class.
Okay.
Who's bad? White people.
White people's the answer.
Tell me once again who's bad.
Who's bad?
White people. That's the whole final.
Yeah. Oh man. The more I think about the conservative and like right wing viewpoint towards universities, the more I love that absurd idea of how powerful they are. Mm-hmm. You know, that combination of fascists, you know, they're so powerful and then they're easy to defeat at the same time.
Right.
That idea of how powerful they can brainwash anyone, these universities, how powerfully they can brainwash people, mm-hmm. as compared to like remembering what it was like when I was in college and like the idea, they could have said anything to me and I would have been like, I don't fucking care. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that colleges are only brainwashing in the sense of if you want to confine information.
Yeah.
Because you'll be exposed to all kinds of things that are different than maybe you believe.
Yeah.
And so if you want to keep someone in a box, then yeah, absolutely, colleges are brainwashing. They're brainwashing you to not be washed brain-wise.
Yeah.
I lost track of that sentence.
The brainwashing is like if you meet a bunch of people who aren't exactly like the people you know, you'll be like, oh, everybody's people. And that is very threatening to people who are like, they are not everybody.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So Alex complains about Joy Reid a little bit.
Right on time.
And then has a weird complaint about breastfeeding.
Sure.
Joy Reid has a meltdown over Trump in Iowa caucuses, smears white Christians as racist in two different videos and says whiteness is the problem. Meanwhile, I mean, this woman's like a clown demon. And then she's got her
whiteness is not the problem.
Blonde hair, her cultural clown appropriation, which I think it's fine for her to have blonde hair. It's hilarious.
I think that sentence
like
means
say
the opposite.
Cornrows are blacks. It's cultural appropriation. White people have been braiding their hair since white people existed. Same thing with black
people.
It's
so hard on white
people. Mental illness. They
came
out.
Lay off.
I forgot to it.
Cornrows are mental illness?
I forgot. Major leftist organizations, universities come out and say, well, actually, the government has come out and said breastfeeding is bad and racist. So.
What?
Yeah, that's why mammals have breasts and breastfeed. That's what you know a mammal by. A mammal has hair. A mammal is warm-blooded. And a mammal breastfeeds its young. But again, they're just assailing logic, science, common sense, while saying they're the science. Like, there's no X and Y chromosomes now. Bill Guy the Science Guy says. They don't teach that now.
Bill Guy the Science
Guy. Bill Guy the Science Guy.
Because if you know about science, you won't want Bayer Pharmaceutical that knowingly put out tens of millions of doses of factor 8 blood clotting compound in the 80s and 90s. And when their own documents came out in court, they sat around and bragged and said, well, there are too many hemophiliacs. Let's just kill them. There it is. Slavery and racism. That's the Washington Post. Drive a toxic double standard about breastfeeding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one from a few years ago. No, there's a federal government. It's in my stack here today. A federal agency's come out and said they've got to stop it. It's bad. And so they basically outlaw it after 6 months.
No.
Stop it.
No.
Because it's racist saying it's good because it keeps women out of the workforce. How dare you stay with your baby?
Oh, for God's sakes.
But I'm digressing.
You are.
Yeah, no shit.
So we'll discuss what Joy Reid did or didn't say whenever Alex gets to that clip. But
right.
That breastfeeding stuff is really interesting to me. He starts ranting about how the globalists and the government are saying that breastfeeding is racist. And so to try to back him up, the crew starts Googling to figure out what headline Alex could possibly be talking about.
Right. That must be what's going on. People are frantically trying to figure out what the fuck he's talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
In order to put something up on the screen
Anything.
To back him up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best they can do is this Washington Post headline from last year, or maybe 2 years ago, somewhere in there.
Sure.
Slavery and racism drive a toxic double standard about breastfeeding.
Sure.
That article is an interesting discussion of how during slavery times, enslaved black women were often used as wet nurses for the white enslavers' children
right.
to the detriment of their own ability to breastfeed their own children.
Sure, 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 sure.
This is an article that's largely just boiling down the content of Andrea Freeman's book, Skimmed, Breastfeeding, Race, and Injustice. It deals with the legacy of slavery, how that affected people even after slavery was abolished, how the formula industry targeted the black community, and how institutional dynamics worked to make breastfeeding more difficult for mothers of color.
Yeah.
Alex is welcome to dispute any of that stuff, but I'm sure he'd just rather read a headline and scoff. No one is saying that breastfeeding's racist. There's just legacies of a racist history that intersect with breastfeeding, and these legacies are worth analyzing to see how we can work toward a better future for everybody. Wonder if he's going to find that mysterious headline ever, though, of how the government says breastfeeding's racist and you must stop. We
yeah.
got to outlaw it. We got to outlaw it.
What is so annoying and is so powerful about Alex's bullshit is that it is like, oh, they're just hating on white people. Everything they say is how much white people are bad. And it's like, it's so over the top that it obscures a very true, extremely over the top fact, which is that slavery touched everything.
Yeah.
Slavery touched everything. All 100% of things. There were zero things that were not touched by slavery.
Mm-hmm.
That is an extreme thing. But he's like, oh, it's just everybody hates white people. And it's like, no, you need to be aware of how it works.
So many of the things
physically.
That it did touch have ripples that mm-hmm. are under-examined even when we examine greatly.
Exactly.
You know, like there's a ton of stuff that the conversation hasn't really even reached the fruition yet, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, every time you magnify 1,000 times, you're like, holy shit, what if I magnify another 1,000 times? And it's even more racist down there.
Yeah, but Alex is tough on white people. So he brought up Bayer in that last clip
right.
while he was dancing around.
Mm.
And that factor 8 thing we've talked about in the past, he's
sure.
a little bit off on it, but it is, you know, still corporate malfeasance.
Right, right, right.
But he had a thought he was going to get to, and then he kind of got distracted.
Right.
So he gets back to Bayer here.
I didn't get into Bayer. I'm sorry. Same people that brought you the deadly factor 8 products, they're modifying, and so is Bill Gates. They're all doing it. Soil microbes that they will take over the world's soil. Get this, so plants don't need nitrogen anymore. So it's a way to bomb and destroy the soil of the planet.
What?
And then scientists warn it will probably cause giant dust bowls like we see in the Andromeda strain and in Interstellar, but for real. And they say that's okay. They're going ahead and spreading it everywhere to change how the soil operates completely.
What?
Fix not wanting to have
Bayer? Can they do all soil?
No, it's those plentiful gas in the atmosphere. And
they have an agricultural wing.
See,
sure.
If they name everything that's life-giving as evil, they get to be in charge of all the life-giving stuff and then curtail it and control it. But their real mission at a satanic spiritual level is destruction of all life on the planet.
Interesting.
And so they are a weapon system activated by El Diablo.
Cool.
Uh-huh. When you study them, they even believe they're channeling off-world entities that give them all these great ideas.
No, you do.
None of them are atheists. They are Satanist. And they're being promised to become gods. Sure. If they kill everything on the planet, they will be uploaded to a mega mind machine and travel the universe forever.
Sounds
fun. Wait, that's childhood's end. Right. Well, you've all Noah Harari, and a bunch of them came out the WF and said, actually, humans are just bad. We're going to end war by getting rid of your bodies and uploading you to machines. You're like, that's crazy. Yeah, but it's the same transmission.
You're having a great argument with
yourself.
Since
he wrote Childhood's End back in the 60s.
Really making that idiot sound
stupid.
It
was his first big novel. Arthur C. Clarke was a big occultist.
Hmm? Well, that's true.
He had the Jeffrey Epstein type proclivities for underage boys. And he was MI6, OSS before that, the inventor of the telecommunications satellite. The Russians first launched one, Sputnik, but he was the inventor of it. And he just...
What is happening right now?
He was channeling this message of loving 10-foot-tall red devils that come to Earth and dissolve our children's souls up into a big pyramid spaceship.
Right.
Very nice people. And you're like, well, that's just a movie. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
You can't say that.
Almost nothing Alex said in that entire clip is true, except for that possibly Arthur C. Clarke was a pedophile. That might be.
Yeah, I mean,
that
yeah.
might be true, but the rest of this is just
I don't
lunacy.
Believe he invented the satellite. I'm fairly certain. I'm fairly certain of that.
Nah, we'll get to that in a second.
I strongly believe he did not.
So the Bayer initiative that Alex is talking about is just, it's actually exploring ways to harness microbes to make soil more able to engage in nitrogen fixation,
ooh.
Where the soil takes the nitrogen in the air and converts it into a form that's usable as food by the plants.
Right, so reading comprehension is tough.
For Alex,
yeah.
impossible.
Very difficult.
They're trying to solve problems around diminishing soil quality around the world. I guess Alex's solution is do nothing and hope for the best?
Yeah, so in order to try and avoid the interstellar scenarios mm-hmm. that Alex is thinking about, he would prefer to rush headlong towards the interstellar scenarios that Alex is thinking about.
It is strange the resistance to things that have promise of helping solve a very big problem.
I mean,
I understand that whenever you have anything like this, there's the specter of something going wrong and how cataclysmic you can make it out to be because
sure.
of fantasies that you have from sci-fi novels and
sure.
what have you.
Maybe too many.
But introducing some kind of a microbe or something like that is not that different than some kind of new fertilizer or whatever. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's not... Alex is a little alarmist, is what I'm saying. A
little bit.
So you've all know Harari didn't say that shit, and Childhood's End is a work of fiction. It has it's absolutely not true that Clark invented the telecommunications satellite. So he wrote a paper about some of his theoretical ideas about a kind of satellite in 1945, a good 8 years before Childhood's End was published.
Sure.
Alex said it was after.
Yeah.
But then the folks who would go on to develop telecommunications satellites didn't know about his writing on the subject, and their model worked fundamentally different
right.
from how he came up with it. But he was an inventor, and he came up with some weird ideas.
Well, that was fun.
Alex just wants to pretend that Clark invented telecommunication satellites because that helps to solidify this idea that the devil was giving him the means to invent this so the devil could reach more people.
I always forget that behind Arthur C. Clarke,
the devil
is the fucking devil.
The narrative and story that Alex wants to tell is that Childhood's End is actually nonfiction, so there's no point in letting pesky details and facts get in the way of that kind of fun. So yeah, like Arthur C. Clarke... like he got messages from the devil, and then the story of Childhood's End is basically him putting that story of his own experience
right.
into a dramatized novel format.
Yeah.
And that's how he invented the telecommunication satellite, which is used to shoot rays at people so the demons can talk to him.
Okay, now, I know that seems silly.
It does.
But what I will throw out is that if... Arthur C. Clarke. Okay. Rewrite history real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur C. Clarke finds himself in Southern California in prison so that one Carrie Cassidy gets to meet with him once every couple of months
mm-hmm.
with her little pencil. We would have so much better episodes.
I don't think so. because I still believe that Carrie's making up most of it herself.
That's fair.
So I think that even if she went and saw Arthur C. Clarke,
yeah,
it would just be...
do you know what would happen? Arthur C. Clarke would get wind of it, and he'd be like, "That's not what I wrote." And it'd be a mess. Oh God, way to ruin everything, real life.
I'm sorry.
I wish it was more like Interstellar.
Well, you'll enjoy this clip then.
If they could just get us straight to nuclear war, that's probably the best thing they want.
Okay.
See, the aliens get us to kill ourselves. And notice when I talk about this, the media never makes jokes about this.
We do.
We do.
Because, you know, I talk to top generals and all the people there, like, oh, yes, that's what the Pentagon believes as well, yes.
That's what
everybody knows. This is that there's interdimensional forces. We're being influenced. Now, Tucker Carlson talks about it.
He got attacked by a demon.
The invasion comes through subspace interdimensional communication systems. And, of course, you know dark matter is 5 times more powerful in its gravity and
don't
energy
even,
than
no.
what we call our own dimension.
Don't do it.
And that is the higher dimensions.
Stop now.
Bleeding in. There's a force 5 times stronger holding all of this in place artificially. The entire universe. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah.
So the Iowa caucuses... happened.
All right. So 5 times stronger than our dimension.
Dark matter. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
You got aliens. The Pentagon knows this. These interdimensional demons are coming to attack Tucker Carlson.
It's smarter.
Use a telekinesis to throw him onto the ceiling.
I'm going to throw this out at you.
Yep.
I'm going to throw this out at you.
Poltergeist.
It is not smarter to let us kill each other. Because if you look at the way we're doing it, we're taking the Earth with us. If I'm aliens that's trying to keep the stuff here, I kill humans without harming the stuff.
Well, but here's where
humans
you're wrong.
Humans harm the stuff.
Here's where you're wrong and you're stupid.
That's a fair point. I'm willing to believe that.
Who's to say that aliens, the transdimensional demons or whatever, who's to say that they don't thrive in a destroyed environment? Who's to say that they don't breathe sulfur air or something like that?
Well,
Who's to say? Then
the most reasonable thing to do would be to show up over here and learn at our feet as to how to create the most awful environment.
You can't prove that's not what's happening.
I can't. You're right. I think we've just explained how that rat guy existed on Captain Planet.
So, Jordan.
Yeah.
What dimension are we in?
4th.
No.
Damn it!
This is the 3rd dimension.
Damn it!
This is the first dimension of matter.
What does that even mean?
This is the lowest level, other than the chaos gods.
What?
The Greeks first wrote about.
Shut the fuck up. The chaos.
So you see that in culture everywhere. People say, well, Jones must be a Warhammer fan. Nope, never even knew what it was. So that's everything he says. Because that's what it is, folks.
The thing that you don't know about?
And you're going to figure it out real fast that there is a spirit attacking us. There is a transmission blasting through into our universe. And its message is when you take the DMT and the government facilities, it's all come out, is they talk to these aliens. And all the aliens do is say, you'll live forever, join us, upload yourself to the machine. That's but nice. First, you've got to kill everybody. You've got to depopulate everybody. You've got to kill.
So is that DeSantis then?
You've got to kill. So you sit back and you go, none of this is logical. This is insane. And it's because they are evil spirits. They are demon possessed. They are resonating. When you look at a Bill Gates or a Fauci, they have that evil look or Joy Reid or Rachel Maddow, they're on the bad guys' team. The Bible's real, folks.
Yeah, they're demon-possessed, all the people who disagree with Alex.
Right.
So I've been thinking about how hard Alex has swung into this kind of a storyline with his content, and I think that what's going on is that his old shit just isn't interesting anymore, and he's desperate to find a way to excite the audience, to be alarmist enough.
Yeah.
In a world where there's QAnon and Trump runs around saying the stupidest shit, do you think Alex would be able to keep any kind of an audience if he was just complaining about the Trans-Texas Corridor or how 3 Congress members created the Federal Reserve under the cloak of night?
It was a road. Remember? Mm. That was the biggest problem we had for such a long time.
A scary road.
It was a big road.
That stuff was enticing back then, but conspiracy content has become so extreme that the audience is just desensitized. I know Alex has oxygen deficiencies and probably has hallucinatory dreams fairly regularly, but that didn't make him do shit like this in 2005 or 2006. If this truly is who he is and what he believes, then he was able to keep a lid on it remarkably well for a long time. I just can't believe that some, maybe most of the motivation for this stuff is not that his old conspiracy framework got boring. Like, yeah. That has to be a part of it. The FEMA camps didn't come, right. Even after the supposedly draconian response of the government that they had to COVID.
Sure.
Rex 84 isn't sexy anymore. Arguing that the 16th Amendment didn't get ratified on a ridiculous technicality so you don't have to pay taxes.
We were so close.
It's kind of dull.
Yeah.
There have always been layers to Alex's conspiracies. Like, there are world leaders who are on one level. And above them are the Bilderberg Group, and above them are the Federal Reserve, and above them are the Rothschilds and other unnamed powerful bloodlines that control everything from behind the scenes. That's all good and well, and that conspiracy onion can theoretically have more layers to it if you need to add them. Once you get to the point where the devil is employing demons you can only access by doing DMT to tell you you can live forever if you kill everyone, which explains all of your enemy's behavior, well, there's nowhere to go, really. When you play the devil card, you're really at the core of the onion. There's no way to one day decide that there's actually a group of evil Democrats who the devil reports to who are the real power players.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck. This is a dead end for Alex, and I think on some level he knows it.
Mm.
Things got more extreme in the conspiracy world, and he went chasing an audience. Now he's gone down that road, and you can't really go home again without boring the vast majority of your audience, so you have to keep the sci-fi storytelling going, and that's how we end up with this kind of shit. What I'm saying is that no matter what happens to him through bankruptcy or any of that stuff, there's no next act for Alex. If he wants to maintain anyone's attention, he's going to need to be fighting a supernatural war against demons pretty much forever. This is his life now.
I'm going to throw this out at you.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is a perfect, but I'm coming to the thought that maybe if we track the escalation of the Marvel movies with the escalation of Alex's cosmology, we'll find a parallel that's so compelling. You know, both of them start early on, let's face it, 9/11 shit, right? Iron Man, Alex, both of them are racists. And then the movies happen. Thanos, that's Trump. I think that catches us up to there.
Wait, but
And then now we're in the post-Thanos era where it's like, we don't really know what to do. We've escalated too far. Now who do we... The last guy was going to destroy half the universe.
Yeah.
What's the next guy going to do? Like, mess up the parking meter situation in Chicago?
Yeah, I don't think they run concurrent timelines, but they have the same trend.
Yeah.
They have the same problem, which is, wait, we already stopped the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Alex can't possibly defeat the devil.
No, he has to do... It's time for a gritty reboot. It's time for a gritty reboot of conspiracies.
It will have to be somebody who's, like, really, you know, more rational.
Yeah.
And it like, comes to prominence and takes down Alex for all of this stuff and how unhinged and disconnected from reality.
Yeah, we need a Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse to break up the monotony of all this Marvel bullshit.
Oh my God. If there were multiversal Alexes.
Oof. Well, considering
I think that some of this probably has to, like, do with supplements and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe his supplements aren't good for him. Maybe he takes
probably
brain force and you know, what have you.
And his, like, there...
And his drinking escalated, clearly, at some point.
I mean, it would be nice. It would be nice just as a thing to tell your kids about. If all of those unlicensed, unexamined, not FDA-regulated products did kill Alex in a combination of terrible, you know, side effects over the years.
Mm.
Just as a way to be like, hey... Here's why you have the FDA.
It would do a lot for public health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The FDA does this because look at Alex.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the individual space.
He ended up completely boxing himself into a demon war.
Yes.
That he can't get out of.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think about
brain
that.
Force.
And it's like it's such a bummer. It's such a bummer to be locked
in a demon war.
To imagine that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, honestly, think about this.
Sure.
If he's, like, you know, he hated the Rockefellers. David Rockefeller was a big bad guy.
I hated him.
David Rockefeller died.
Dead.
Alex hates Soros. Eventually, Soros is going to die.
He's not going to last forever.
Hates Klaus Schwab. Eventually, that's going to go away.
They're old.
You know, he hates the Bilderberg Group and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Those could disband.
Right.
Those could end. They could stop holding meetings.
Sure.
And Alex could claim that as some kind of a victory.
Right.
He can't beat the devil.
No, that's kind of
the devil
part of
doesn't
his...
exist. And
well,
if he did, all right, Alex can't beat him.
There's a very specific, only one entity that can defeat the devil. It's kind of canon.
And Alex,
how are you going to do this? How are you going to pull this one out?
So the devil doesn't exist, first of all.
Right.
But
all
second
right.
of all,
you're offending a lot of people.
If the devil does exist,
uh-huh.
and Alex is able to vanquish him,
sure,
he is the most important person who has ever lived
yes.
in the history of
Correct.
All time.
And we should all give up everything, any moral aspect, any disagreement we may have, because everything is secondary to helping Alex defeat the devil, regardless of Alex's own personal character.
And honestly, like, if Alex does defeat the devil,
yeah.
there will be a demarcation in time. There will have to yep. be another AD, BC
100%.
Kind of situation.
No, there is the second coming of Christ would be Alex Jones.
Yes.
I will come with a sword of fire, my man. And that is Alex goddamn Jones.
So he has that to live up to.
Sure.
Or else his content's going to stagnate.
It's going to be rough.
So he's stuck there.
I mean,
he's
know.
Either the second coming of Christ, or he's just going to be kind of a boring sci-fi stochastic terrorist type.
Yeah, he really needs to get back to his roots, you know? Back when Superman could only leap tall buildings. He couldn't even fly back in the day.
Mm.
He could just jump real high.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Nah, I doubt it.
So, the devil...
What about him?
He has some tricks.
Sure.
God isn't even one electron away. God is all in you, around you, but you've got to connect to it. I'm not saying we're God. God made
us.
All of this. God is
every
in everything, everywhere, at all times. Except destruction of innocence and free will and consciously going against God and murdering children. God removes himself from those spaces. And that's why evil does the rituals and does the bad things, because it's like chemistry or like mathematics or like it is quantum mechanics. God removes his energy field from those areas where that's happening. And that's why everything is cursed when you allow evil to be carried out, because God starts withdrawing his energy field.
Do the quantum mechanics curse you?
And then
yes,
okay.
the evil can operate in those areas with a freer hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about,
sure.
just like you go into a military attack and the enemy's got jammers that jam your radar and jam your missiles,
right.
all the rest of it. The devil gets you to commit all this evil and to refuse God and reject the Holy Spirit so that he can set up his jamming operation and get full control. And if Satan gets full control over our governments, the second, because God's holding it back, instantly, they'll fire the missiles from the satellites. They'll fire the missiles from the submarines. They'll fire the missiles from their bases. I mean, the minute Satan gets control of one government that has nuclear weapons, just instantly, they're fired. That's why the
what?
Bible says if God didn't intervene, no flesh would be spared on the earth. And now you learn Xi Jinping has fired hundreds and hundreds of generals, sometimes 8, 9, 10 a day. Because he's ordered them to do psychotic stuff, and they've said, no, you're relieved of command.
You couldn't get through 8 or 10 a day before you'd have
so
to just
the minute
conclude.
Satan gets full control.
This is all fun, but it doesn't really mean anything.
It is not fun. It is not fun. It's bad world building.
I mean that dismissively. Like, it's all fun and games, you know.
Sure,
whatever. It's
sure,
all
sure.
good and well.
Sure.
Just good, clean fun.
Fair.
So she's been firing a lot of the folks in the military, particularly in the rocket force, but there's no indication it was because they refused to do horrible things. U.S. intelligence assessed that it was because of rampant corruption uncovered by a push that was being made to modernize China's military.
Yeah.
One example that was given was that it was found that rockets were filled with water instead of fuel, presumably to skim money.
Right.
And upkeep expenses. And so that's kind of what's going on with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She is getting rid of these people for agreeing to do terrible things for money.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Anyway, the rest of that clip was just kind of unhinged rambling.
Yeah.
So I thought I would touch on the one place where it intersected
sure.
with the real world.
Good call.
But I think this is, so if I understand correctly, the devil,
yeah,
he gets you to do these bad things like kill a child or something.
Right.
Because that temporarily makes God be like, I'm out of here. Fuck this.
Yeah, yeah,
fuck
yeah.
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then Satan can come in and install a jammer so God can't come back.
Yeah.
Because there's electromagnetic jamming signal that God can't come back in.
Yep.
This is not how I understand grace.
Right.
God's love. This is not how I understand any of those things. I didn't realize that Alex is such a prequels guy.
For the devil so hated the world, he jammed God's only son. Mm. All right? And that's about how it goes.
I find this such a sad kind of way to approach this stuff. Because, you know, in the same way that people were disappointed with the prequels, because midichlorians makes the Force not fun.
Yeah.
You have this attempt to try and turn God's ability to do things into, like, an electromagnetic field or something like that.
Yeah.
God is God.
Yeah, that this is... You know, one of the things about blasphemy is that it's not so much, like, that idea of, like, oh, God damn it, is blasphemy. It is that... by trying to discuss God, you naturally confine him.
Mm.
There's no way, you know, him obviously being a confinement in and of itself.
Right.
That idea of him, you're confining something that by definition tells you, don't fucking confine me, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And so the more you do it, the more stupid you sound. And then you have a religion.
And then you end up talking about jammers.
Exactly. There you go.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
But anyway, he's having a good day.
Yeah.
So the Iowa caucuses happened.
I can't believe that.
They did.
I can't believe they did anymore.
And literally,
I no longer believe it.
Literally.
The
only coverage we get of it is this next clip where Alex plays some clips of people talking about the voting.
Good.
So let's dive into the home front and Trump's magnificent win in Iowa, 50%+ of the vote against four other candidates. Vivek Ramaswamy wisely has ended his campaign to join forces and support Trump.
You can't sound like you're a regular radio show right now. God damn it.
The worst among them, of course, being Bird Brain, Nikki Haley, and her merry band of neocon warmongers. So what did Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow and all of them do? They did this on CNN, too, not just MSNBC. They came out and said, the problem is the white people. Here it is.
But, you know, I feel like the important sort of data point, and, you know, Steve talks about it a lot. He's going to probably talk about it a little more tonight, is that these are white Christians. That this is a state that is overrepresented by white Christians that are going to participate in these caucuses, especially tonight. Earlier today, reached out to Robbie Jones, from the Public Religion Research Institute, knowing that we were going to talk about Iowa. And this is a hyper-evangelical white state. And he said the following to me. Iowa is about 61% white Christian. The country as a whole is approximately 41% white Christian. And in Iowa, we're talking about evangelical white Christians. And he said the following. Because I asked him, what do they get out of supporting Donald Trump? Because he keeps losing, he keeps delivering losses. And he said the following. They see themselves as the rightful inheritors of this country, and Trump has promised to give it back to them. All the things that we think about electability, about, you know, what are people gaming out, or none of that matters when you believe that God has given you this country, that it is yours, and that everyone who is not a white conservative Christian is a fraudulent American, is a less real American, then you don't care about electability.
New Hampshire.
And I think to the point that you made, Steph, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. She's still a brown lady. That's got to try to win in a party that is deeply anti-immigrant and which accepts the notion that you can say immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country.
Yeah.
She's getting, you know, birthered by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much the donor class likes her, which will ramp up a lot, the better she does in New Hampshire. So it's still a challenge. I don't see how she becomes the nominee of that party with Donald Trump still around. I can't picture it happening. Maybe it could happen. Ron DeSantis' only argument for staying in it is he's the white guy that he can still make the appeal to white
people. While we have the big picture takeaway from that, and I don't mean to be, again, too dark, as you said, on this, but it is not, if we are worried about the rise of authoritarianism in this country, we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country, if we're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government, The leader who is trying to do that is part of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
But people wanting that
Correct.
Is a much mm-hmm. bigger part mm-hmm. of that
That's
equation.
Right.
And the American electorate is made up of two major parties. One of those parties has been flirting with extremism on the ultra-right for a very long time. They've brought them in a way that they haven't been central to Republican electoral politics ever before, and I know because I've been studying this. But once you have radicalized one major party so that those are the preferences of the people who adhere to your party, the leader's interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And yes, Trumpism is sometimes what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
MAGA movement is probably a better way to do it. But there is an authoritarian mm-hmm. movement inside yes. Republican politics that isn't being bamboozled by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They are pushing Trump
yeah.
to get more and more That's extreme
right.
because the more extreme things he says,
the more they
adhere to him.
Yeah.
And that is coming from a very large proportion of the American right that adheres to the Republican Party. And that's why this is a Republican Party problem more than it is the problem mm-hmm. of one man and his leader.
All
right, so I'm sorry to subject you to those people's voices, but it's got to be done. Everything they say is them. They are racially basing everything.
Wait.
And
I thought you would agree with most of that.
Race, and they're bringing people in and saying we're going to outnumber the white people and we're going to have them identify racially.
What?
And they're destroying the melting pot
sure.
and trying to get people to not accept and adopt American values.
So I have a couple points to make about this. But
yeah.
the first thing I want to note is how after the clips played, you can sense Alex is having a tough time getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And it's because this was supposed to be a compilation of what white people, they're talking about white people being evil.
Yeah.
And then that last part, the Rachel Maddow section, had nothing to do with that at all.
It didn't.
Alex knows that he needs to do some kind of a trick in order to get this back on the path he wanted to be on, since the package was poorly edited together.
Yeah.
That's where the I'm rubber, you're glue type of response kicks in there. So first off, Alex says that it was wise of Vivek to drop out, but I thought the whole point is important to have him running is you gotta have another America First guy in there in case they kill Trump.
Whatever.
I thought that was the whole game.
Whatever. Wisely, he did it fine.
I thought it was critical to have him in the race to help push the conversation in extremist directions when Trump is unable to. I guess that was all just shit talking, and now that yeah. Vivek has dropped his farce of a campaign off to beg for another job in the Trump campaign or maybe
yeah.
a high-paying job in the right-wing media, Alex can just do this, oh, it was wise for him to drop out.
Yeah.
Second, none of these clips are saying anything about white people being bad.
Mm.
The first one's kind of close, but it's about the appeal of Trump to white evangelicals, part of which is that there is a belief that he will make the country more in line with their white evangelical demands. This is pretty hard to argue. Obviously, there's more of the appeal than just that, like his support of Israel, but the idea that Trump would push for a government that codified their religious beliefs into law is a massive appeal that he has to the evangelical set. The white Christian population is most relevant in this conversation because they're talking about Iowa. And they explained the demographics in that clip, even.
Yeah, I mean, and it is important. It is super, super important within the context of all of these dumb conversations that those people had on the TV, is that when I was in, like, fourth grade, I learned about manifest destiny as a super awesome good thing.
Yeah.
A super positive, awesome, this is why America's super cool thing.
Uh-huh.
It is not as though this generation of people is like, where did they get the idea that they own this country from the fucking soul? It was, we were all raised that way.
And those sorts of ideas intersected with Christianity
you
for us
it.
Growing up. Even.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not something that is a foreign idea to people who've grown up in religious, especially, I grew up in an evangelical church, and so I experienced a bit of this. It doesn't seem that weird at all.
No, religion, identity, and it's just fucking too much.
So the second clip is about how Nikki Haley is unelectable in Trump's party, at least partially because she's a non-white woman.
Yeah, we've said that.
I think that's pretty hard to dispute.
We've said that all over a lot.
I don't know what Alex's complaint is there.
Yeah, that should be something that you're halfway proud of, right? It's like, hey, guess what? She'll never get elected in our
party. He called her bird brain
that's
at the beginning of the clip.
Yeah, shouldn't you be like, listen, we're too racist for her.
So the third clip is about how the problem of authoritarianism that Trump represents is a broader problem than just one man. The party allowed in incredibly fringe elements and allowed them to push their agenda into the mainstream platform of the party, and now they're beholden to them. This has nothing to do with white people being bad, but it is kind of similar to the dynamic I was talking about with Alex and the devil.
Yeah, there is that.
You hear this compilation and the way Alex is trying to use it for his narrative, and the only thing you can really come away from it is feeling like Alex is very insecure. Or more accurately, he understands how making his audience feel insecure, particularly about their identity, is tremendously profitable. And this all just seems fucking silly to me, especially after all the shit about demons and how they want to send transmissions to kill.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm supposed to care about this analysis of the Iowa caucus when I'm supposed to be worrying about, like, cosmic horror. This is ridiculous.
I mean, yes, it is. It's so fucking comparable to Marvel. It is so much like, oh, there's a new Daredevil series. Who fucking cares what happens in Hell's Kitchen? There's fucking space battles and shit. Aliens are there. There's elder gods and shit. Who fucking cares?
Some accident of that space battle will destroy all of Hell's Kitchen.
In 2 seconds.
All of these character stories,
meaningless,
done.
Everything's gone. Doesn't matter. None of this is matter.
You only exist because of a whim or an accident.
Yeah, 100%. There is no meaning to any of this. Ugh.
So you might recall that Alex said he was going to read those articles.
I do recall that.
That was a while ago.
That was a while back.
But he does get to it.
Okay.
And here's how that goes.
All right.
They're the ones taking us to martial law. They're the ones taking us to civil war. They're the ones taking us to physical war. And so I mentioned this earlier. We're going to go through it now.
Let's get into it.
So let's go ahead and get started on the World War III.
Just to be clear, that was his audio cutting out.
Right.
There's a little bit of a pause. That's like, oop, this seems to be happening a bit lately. I don't know what it is, but it picks back up.
Okay.
But before I do that, I want to talk to listeners for a minute. I trust in God. God has always come through.
A sad sales
pitch. The worst things happen to me. I've always learned that if I'm just steadfast and thank God, that God makes it way better. Mm. For not just me, but it helps other people.
Oh, God.
So I really have beyond faith.
All right.
You'll hear the word faith. It means, oh, you believe something. No, I know.
Ooh,
it.
This doesn't sound good.
And so if I got killed today or grabbed and tortured and I'm in a jail cell somewhere and my teeth are knocked out, I'm going to be thinking, thank you, Jesus. This boy, we're about to see some big victories. Every time,
what are you selling?
We get persecuted. Every time we go through the fire, we get stronger. And Christ is the ultimate example of that. I knew exactly what he was doing. And even though he was God in the flesh, he still had all the desires and all the human weaknesses. And he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane hours before they came and arrested him because he was omnipresent. He knew what they were going to do. He knew they were going to rip the flesh completely off his back and torture him and put a crown of thorns on him and hang him up on a cross and make him suffocate, incredible pain. He saw it all. But more importantly, that all the sins of the world, something God doesn't want to be associated with or around. As sure. I said, God pulls back.
Doesn't like hanging out with him.
God doesn't like to touch evil. But in
I don't
Christ,
like to touch
God
it. It's
said,
you.
I'm not going to ask you to do something I can't do. I am going to take on all the sins previously, the current sins, and the future sins as a sacrifice.
You know, you're the one who made them
and
up in the first place.
I am going to be there. And I am going to judge myself. I am going to witness every rape and murder of a child, every war, every person being starved to death, every person being tortured, everybody being abandoned. All the pain of the universe, I'm going to take it.
Was all your idea?
Because God's perfect and pure, and only by God transmuting all that evil could God then give us a chance at infinity.
Full Heaven Alchemist.
You're going to read that article?
By chance, we have to choose it. I'm going back to preaching. I'm going to stop in a moment. But
go back to
World
preaching.
War III will always make you preach. And that's really it, folks. That's it. God cannot allow evil things into his system, but he has to get you through free will to do it. But you're fallen, so God says, all right, I'll take it on. And then I will transmute it like lead to gold. I can't ask you to do things I won't do. I will do it. Wow. That's a big God. The whole universe, everything in it, knows everything. But God doesn't want robots. God wants free creatures that can see the universe and commune with him and worship him.
So big.
And interface with God. Think about that. But I'm digressing. Let me get to the World War III news.
Right. Going to read that article then?
Well, see, I don't script this show. I mean, I have stuff I want to cover.
What?
I don't script what I'm about to say. I just go with the knowledge and the information. And so I was about to tell you that I need your support, but I was thinking, I'm not going to sit here and yell and scream. I'm not going to sit here and beg you. I'm not going to sit here and explain to you how important it is. Plus, they're great products that will enrich your life.
I really fucking need. Hate you.
I'm just going to tell you.
I hate you
up.
So much. I knew it was a sales pitch all the way back then.
Success, all praise
you
to God.
Distracted me.
Praise to you.
By distracting God. Yourself.
All the earthly praise to you.
Fuck you. Oh my God. He distracted himself from the sales pitch I knew he was making.
Yep.
God damn it.
Watching you watch that was fascinating. It was so fun because you were so right at the beginning. It's what are you selling?
This is a fucking
what are you selling? And then it went on so long that even Alex kind of forgot.
He forgot.
That's blasphemous.
How many years? 8 years now? That is truly astonishing still.
And I think that
virtuosic, really, in a way.
I think that one of the reasons, you know, we see less of these ad pivots and stuff in our show in recent times.
Sure.
And that's because we've seen it so many times that it takes something special to really get to the level of, like, you got to see this.
That's true.
And that's, you got to see this level.
That's pure. That is
Alex,
just beautiful.
He starts, I'm going to get into reading this article that I promised to read.
Fine. I know you're not going to do that.
Going to get distracted. Get distracted into maybe a sales pitch.
Sales pitch makes sense.
Get distracted trying to lay the groundwork of weaving religion into my sales pitch. Go too far into the religion.
A little too far.
Forget about the sales pitch.
That's World War III.
Then I come back to, I'm supposed to be reading this article.
The only reason.
Listen, I need money.
The only reason that I got too distracted by World War III in the first place was because I care so much. So much. And that is also why you should give me money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I care too much about caring to not ask for money until I do ask for money slightly after that.
Also, God is real big.
Oh, so big.
So big.
So big.
So there's a long, long, long ad section now.
Sure. That makes sense.
Quite long. And then Alex drops this, and I thought this was like maybe telling a little too much.
Okay.
So I need people to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And I need folks to get my book, the signed copy of The Great Awakening, because I get a large percentage of that money. I get half the money from the book sales on the unsigned and on the signed. And then it goes right into this. And we're right here at the finish line. We're winning. And it's $100 to get the signed book because it's a fundraiser. It's like on NPR where they sell a coffee mug for $100. Well, it didn't cost them $100. It cost them $5, $6. But
thanks,
it's a pledge, and it lets you know, hey, you helped keep, you know, their communist garbage on air, along with taxpayer money. Well, we don't get taxpayer money like NPR, PBS. We're funded by you. So I simply need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the signed or unsigned book if you want to keep me on the air. Okay? It's that simple. And I'm not a quitter. You know, I'm really at this point, I've not even been pushing this a lot and asking you to support me a lot, because I'm kind of like, hey, God, you know, if you want to keep me on air, have a donor give me the money or just something so I don't have, because I don't want to just spend the whole show begging here. But then I start thinking, well, that's kind of quitting if you don't do it. So I guess I'll, you know, go to the audience. I'm not going to second guess God.
Smooth rationalization.
That makes more sense than anything I've heard all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the please buy the book. I can take more of the money from that.
Yeah.
I have a higher profit margin on that, and because it's something that I wrote, I get more of the money personally, as opposed to stuff that goes into the company.
Because I also have publishing rights, I also have I got a writer's credit for that, so that's good.
So yeah, that doesn't sound like someone who's doing well. It does sound like that's indicative of, like, shit's a little tight.
Yeah, but you know, it is just always going to be the difference between, you know, being poor and being broke. You know, I've been poor. We've been poor. He's broke, and there's a difference.
That is true. You know? That is true. But, like, I think that if you are in a position where you're Alex Jones and you care enough about the difference between the, like, amount you get from selling this book and your supplements.
That's true.
That thin line is probably fairly important.
If you're focusing on profit margin, not just profit, you're probably in an issue,
So anyway, Alex gets to read in that article, right?
Sure.
I mean,
any time now.
Oh.
Any day now.
Well, sure.
Any moment.
How about now?
The whole time.
Would now be good?
We are going to now segue into the war news. And I really don't even know what to say at this point.
I believe that. I truly believe that.
Look, I want to explain something to people.
I'm going to go to rebroadcast.
The party's over. All right.
All right.
And if you go to my X account, Real Alex Jones, we can pull up the video that I posted there today of people already going days before, I guess, into the football stadium where some of these NFL teams are about to play. And there's such a blizzard that they say, you're not even going to have assigned seats. Just sit wherever you can. And you say, what does this have to do with World War III?
Good question.
Well, there you got a father.
Bad start.
He thinks the most manly thing he can do and the most American thing he can do is dress his sons up in a football jersey and a tribal outfit and then go watch the game.
This is an interesting start to the article.
And I'm not saying he's a bad dad. Cool. My dad took me to football games when it was snowing, and I liked him.
Think about your dad.
He'd get me a hot dog and Coca-Cola and nachos, and by the time I was about 10, you know, slip me a beer.
So he's Shut up!
So he's a bad dad.
He's a terrible dad.
Drink a couple beers with dad.
A couple beers?
At 10? God and, damn, Texas is weird.
But the point is that if you were driving to the football game and you...
With your dad?
Heard, grandma just had a heart attack and is in the hospital and she lives in your town, would you still go to the game? Or how about you're driving home and you hear your 15-year-old daughter was just in a car wreck 5 miles away. Would you still go to the game? You see, we're not going to turn this stuff around until we have priorities.
Yep, we need priorities. Mm-hmm. So basically, he starts trying to read the article again, gets bored before he even starts, and decides, I'm going to shame these people who are going to football games.
I am blown away by he the need to tell a whole dad story around it.
I think he recognizes that reading this article, which he promised to do, multiple articles he promised to read, it's boring. Yes. It's boring. It's boring as shit.
And not just that. Not just that. But he did tell people to text and remind their friends and
text strangers
that they were going to hear these articles that he refuses to read because they are too boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Party's over, though.
That sounds right.
Don't go to football games.
The party's over.
What do we do? Man, if the party's over, then go to football games.
Smoke them if you got them.
Exactly. That's it. You're taking this the wrong way. This is a bad point of view on life.
Nah. Yeah. So, Alex, you know, some of you dumbs, you go to football games because you're not.
Sure.
Well, look, you should be fighting the New World
what
Order.
About concerts, are those fine?
No.
How about like just going out to eat?
Shut it down.
Okay.
Shut it
nothing,
down.
Nothing but fighting the New World Order.
Exactly.
Huh? No rest for the wicked.
And listen to me.
What?
Alex, he's not immune to the ways of the world. He turns down invitations from cool people all the time.
Oh my God.
I get calls all the time.
Read
really
the
cool
articles.
People. And say, hey, go out to dinner with us tonight. Or go jump on an airplane with us. And, you know, we're flying, picking up the private jet. Let's go have a couple of days and have some fun together and, you know, play poker. Or, hey, man, come out to my comedy club tonight.
Oh, so Rogan.
And I just say to him now.
Unnamed, could be a
comedian. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe something's wrong with me. I just say, you know, I got to get to bed early.
Bullshit.
Because I got to get up real early and study about what's going on.
Bullshit.
And I'm not saying it's bad to have some R&R. I'm not saying it's bad. And maybe I'm the extreme, where I fight the New World Order 95% of the time. Even when I sleep, I have dreams about it.
Oh.
Yeah, I still have some pleasure. I still watch an occasional movie, and I you know, I sure like sex with my wife. That's I'm certainly not skipping out on that.
Cool.
That's something God gave us that's enjoyable.
Sure.
I like food, but it's all I do.
Okay.
This has got to stop.
It does.
This has got to stop.
You dumb fucks going to football games. I get invitations to do fun things all the time with Joe Rogan, and I turn them down because I'm fighting the globalists. But listen, I fuck my wife.
I have tried so many ways to get this man to stop. The legal system can't do it. So I'm asking all of you, What do we got to do to make sure I never have to hear about Alex Jones' fucking sex life again? What do we have to do? What do I got to do to get you out of here in a SARS 15 car today?
I mean, quite honestly, all it takes is me not playing you those clips.
That's fair.
So this is partially on me. But I wouldn't have just chosen the clip where he says, I fuck my wife.
Yeah, obviously.
It's in the context of him, you know, getting these cool invitations.
Oh my God.
That's where his mind goes. The things he does for pleasure. He has
food.
He's had sex with his wife.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. So he does find...
I mean, I guess that's fine. It'd be weirder if he was like, I'm a huge escape room guy. I'm really into escape rooms.
No, it wouldn't. That would be delightful.
No, I think I would be weirded out if I knew that there was like a whole network of escape room people who are like, listen, I hate Alex Jones as much as the next guy, but God damn it. He keeps this whole industry afloat.
No.
The whole Texas escape room industry is Alex Jones reliant.
He would think it's fair game to break through a wall.
That is true. He couldn't do escape
rooms. He would be very good at, but just by running headlong into the wall.
That's why I chose escape rooms as an incongruous and hilarious example.
Fair enough. Yeah. But I still, you know, if you want to abstract it a little bit, I think it would be delightful if he, instead of saying, I fuck my wife, he's like, I have a hobby. I make birdhouses
it would be humanizing in a way, like I
make ships in bottles.
And it's just yet another way he disappoints you.
Yeah.
A human being would have something to grasp, and this guy's still just I sex my wife times. Like, fuck you, man.
So he does end up eventually reading one of the articles, but he only gets through like a paragraph of it and then moves on. Yeah. So it's not really worth it. He put it off for quite a while with a lot of bullshit.
Right.
So I think I'm just going to play one last clip.
I think this is a great way to go.
And here's what it is.
Okay.
Another report that I'm going to air that's, I think, really good. I let it all out very calmly, very succinctly. In 23 minutes, I'm going to air it at the end of the third hour coming up. Globalists lack supporters, but they have nukes. Alex Jones tells RT.
So Alex is going to play his interview on RT so he can leave half an hour early. And the rest of the show, the entire rest of the show, is him interviewing a guy named Kirk Elliott, who's a gold scam guy, a gold dealer. I have to assume that it's brokered programming.
Yeah.
I would not assume otherwise, because it's a long interview. Alex is very deferential.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, like, I mean, obviously can't prove it, but it does have the vibe of Spawn Con.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rest of the episode's kind of like just a no man's land, and then he leaves early.
Sure.
And I was like, at this point, I was like, I'm going to punt on the gold guy interview.
Yeah.
Because that's nothing. But then I was like, I can't punt on everything. We got to cover the RT interview. And I listened to it, and I was just bored.
Yeah.
It was just boring. And so maybe we'll cover it on another episode or something if people really, really want us to. But I was kind of like, I got nothing on this.
I mean,
not really that interested.
Okay.
The fact that it exists and the fact that it happened.
Sure.
And you obviously know that Alex is just going to be on there peddling Russian lines.
It's super good to be Russian. Everybody loves Russia.
The fact that it happened is more of note than what anything he says on it.
No, he was. It is like the choice to have him far outweighs anything that he says.
Yeah.
It's like the climate denier Mark Moreno. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter what he has to say. He's going to lie about anything. The fact that they hired him tells you everything you need to know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that they pretend to take him seriously.
Right. Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is of note at all is that, like, Alex can very easily control himself and have, like, an interview with this RT person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's because he has more respect for RT than he does for his own show.
True. True.
And because they treat him like he's somebody to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
He can't. It's a catnip to him.
Yep. Yep. I mean, the funny part about narcissists is that once you just do. So, like, here's the fun thing about narcissists, all right, is that they're actually very easy to lead because they're very pleasurable, you know, just like, oh, if I like this thing and people keep giving it to me, then I'll keep liking it, you know, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's when people defer to them That's when you get into bed. You have to lead them like dumb horses. Mm. You know, like, oh, this is a little treat.
Well, I mean, we even saw it in a tiny microcosm when, in that debate when Bed said something nice about Alex. He immediately started acting like his buddy.
Whatever you say. Yeah, yeah, you're great. Yeah. I love you, man. Yeah, yeah. But whenever you're like, what do you want to do? Then they,
And I think because this RT interviewer is acting like Alex is a scholar of some sort, which is the image that Alex wishes everyone else treated him with, he's just perfectly fine to not scream and not yell and not ramble on for hours about the demons that plague us.
Yep.
So anyway, it was boring.
Yep.
But they're the Iowa caucus.
How about it? How about it?
I should know better by now. Whenever you think something is going to happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's just not going to be. It's just never going to be.
So I guess we'll find out what he thinks about New Hampshire eventually.
And it won't be fun the moment you stop. You know, the moment Lucy stops pulling the football away and Charlie truly stops believing that she's going to, you know, leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
That's whenever the joy of life is gone, you know? So you got to believe, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody claps their hands, someday.
Alex will do the thing that he is supposed to do.
Just someday.
So we come to the end of this, and we learned nothing about the Iowa caucus.
True.
But we learned about demons.
True.
And not much else.
Yeah.
But we'll be back. For another episode, we'll see what that entails. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Blue Sky.
That's
right. Knowledge Fight.
Yep.
Ah!
We'll be back.
Yep.
We'll, you know.
Oh, if you want to see my tattoo, I'm on Instagram, knowledge_fight.
Hey, how about that?
How about that?
We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZXR. Also, look, people sometimes should go on threads and stuff.
What are we doing now?
I can't handle all this social media, but I apologize if there's some place that you are that you wish we were. And we aren't. We can't be everywhere.
We can't be everywhere.
We're not omnipresent.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.